May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. 393.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the first book of the Kings and chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the first book of the Kings. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel for ever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in one year was 666 talents of gold, beside that he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays, and 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon, for the king had a navy of Tharshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tharshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for the riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and teach us how to pray. Merciful, gracious and almighty God of heaven, do solemnize our hearts as we seek to bow before thy glorious and holy majesty. Do teach us how to pray and for what to pray. Do pour upon us the spirit of grace and of supplications with thanksgiving. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us as we gather around thy word at this evening hour. May we be led and taught and guided and directed by the Spirit of truth into the truth as it is in Jesus. And may we know and feel and experience as we gather round thy word those sacred divine drawings of a heavenly Father. For none come except the Father draw. And may we know the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. May we hear his voice. May we see his countenance. May we worship in his holy hill of Zion. Oh, may grace triumphant reign, and Christ exalted be, and sinners deserve an endless pain, thy great salvation see. Lord, we read in thy word and we pray that it may be so with us, that we may put our mouths in the dust. If so be, there might be hope. For we are all as an unclean thing, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot. We are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. Lord, we realize just a little of what the dear apostle says. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, so Lord, we come to thee, and we would seek to confess our sins and our wanderings and our ill manners in the wilderness and our backslidings. We prove, O Lord, that no man can keep alive his own soul. O most gracious Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst come in the mighty power of thy Spirit at this evening hour and seal thy word into our hearts, that it may be with us as it was with the apostle at Thessalonica when he could testify, for our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. Lord, we need that wisdom that cometh from above, which is first pure, then peaceable. We need, O Lord, the Spirit of truth to grant that holy anointing in the pulpit and in the pew, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that the word of truth may be open to our hearts and to our understanding, and that we may delve into the deep that coucheth beneath in thy holy word. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. We depend entirely, O Lord, upon thy grace. Lord, make us more spiritually minded. Set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. May there be some hungry and thirsty souls that have gathered here at this evening hour, that have come for a portion for their soul, that have come to hear thy voice, that have come to see thy countenance, that have come in all their need, in all their emptiness, in all their poverty, in all their insufficiency. O most gracious Lord, do supply their needs. Thou hast promised in thy holy word that when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth of thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I will open rivers in high places and streams in the desert. So, Lord, we pray that it may be so. Lord, we think of that sacred promise. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the dwelling places of the Most High. Lord, may that river freely flow at this evening hour, that we may truly worship thee, that we may be enabled to truly say, it was good for us to be here. We seek thy rich blessing upon this church and this congregation. We commend to thee our beloved brethren, the deacons, and we pray that thou wouldst bless them and support them and sustain them and strengthen them. And we pray for thy servants as they come in and out among this people, that they may dip their foot in oil, that they may be made acceptable unto the brethren, that they may preach the word, that they may be determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst give this people a like appetite, that they desire to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst satisfy the hungry soul and fill them with goodness. We seek thy rich blessing upon them, that thou wouldst grant them a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. And we seek thy blessing, O Lord, to rest upon them and upon the churches of God, that thou wouldst grant that fresh anointing of thy Spirit upon thy servants as they go forth to preach the word. Do grant them, and thus saith the Lord, and do grant them that fresh anointing of the Spirit. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, that thou wouldst send true labourers into the harvest. Remember thy servants in affliction, and raise them up again if it could please thee, and strengthen them once again to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee, for with God nothing is impossible. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for those wonderful words of grace that thou didst speak. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, we pray that we may lay hold of thee this night. That thou hast said the Heaven is thy throne, the earth is thy footstool, and thou hast promised to make the place of thy feet glorious. And we pray that it may be so this evening hour. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. O most gracious God, look upon each soul that has gathered here at this evening hour, and graciously bless them, we do beseech thee. Shine from on high, thy love restore, O Lord, we do beseech thee. And do grant, O Lord, that those that are in darkness may be brought into light, and those that are in bondage may be brought into liberty, and those that are far off may be made nigh. Do grant thy blessing upon the little ones that gather here, and the children, and the young people. We lovingly commend each one to thee, and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up, and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Do grant thy blessing upon parents, that they may be enabled to bring up their children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And do grant thy blessing and help upon those in the midst of the journey of life. And remember those in old age and its weaknesses and its added infirmities. And do graciously help and sustain and uphold each one. We think of those unable to gather, those, O Lord, that are unable to gather because of affliction or because of family responsibilities. And those, O Lord, that are not here that could be here. Lord, we pray for each and every one. We pray that prodigals may return. We pray that the light and truth and power of the gospel may shine forth, and the strongholds of Satan be pulled down, and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. We pray that the glory of gospel truth may shine into this village and the surrounding villages, and that precious souls may be gathered in. Lord, we long to see thy goings in the sanctuary. We long to see thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. We thank thee, O Lord, for the opportunity afforded us again to meet together. And we do thank thee for that sacred bond of Christian love that unites us together. And we do thank thee, most gracious Lord, for thy word. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And we do thank thee for the wonderful glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of redeeming love that is in him. We thank thee for the sacred glory of the incarnation. We bless thee for the holy, sinless perfections of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the sacred glory of a once crucified but now exalted Lord, who has put away sin by the offering of himself, who has swallowed up death in victory, who has made a new and a living way into the holy place. O most gracious Lord, we would bow in humble thankfulness before thee for the abundance of thy mercies. We thank thee for all the mercies of thy kind providence. Truly, God is good to Israel. Hear us, O Lord, and be with us now as we turn to thy precious word. Open thy word to our heart and to our understanding, as we ask all in that lovely, precious, sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 587. Come whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend, sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. 587.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 11. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. I believe it's Dr. Gill that said that he felt that the Song of Solomon is the holy of holies of the scriptures. And the reason that he felt that is because it is so sublimely spiritual. And the only entrance that we can ever have into the sacred truths of the Song of Solomon is by a spiritual experience of the truth in our heart. It is sacred Hebrew poetry and the most beautiful of poetry. In the opening it says the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Obviously it was composed and written by King Solomon, but it was composed and written by him under the direct inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That is why it is sacred poetry. And that is why, and the reason why I should say, it is called the Song of Songs is because there is no other song that is like it. It is actually the expressions of love, spiritual love, between Christ and his church. And sometimes it is Christ that is speaking, and sometimes it is the church, the spouse of Christ, that is speaking. If you notice in the opening of the book, it says, let him kiss me. And this is an expression of the desire of the church of God, of the desire of a living soul. Let him. Who is she speaking to? She's speaking to her beloved, to Jesus Christ. And this is the longing of her soul. It's a song of loves. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than mine. The desires of a living soul. Indeed, in the fourth chapter, in the fourth verse of the first chapter, again, it's the church. She says, draw me. We will run after thee. It's the longing of a living soul, feeling their own ineptness, their own weakness, their own insufficiency, their own earthbound state and condition. There is that longing and that desire to be drawn to Jesus Christ. And she says, draw me, we will run after thee. She goes on in the seventh verse of the first chapter. Again, it's a prayer of the church unto her beloved. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. What the meaning of that is, where thou feedest thy sheep, thy people, thy children. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. You see, there was that desire. Do you have any desires in your heart toward Jesus Christ? Do you have that affection in your soul toward Jesus Christ? Do you long to lay hold of Jesus Christ? Can you find an echo in your soul with the apostle when he says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. In other words, where thou feedest thy flock. And why did she want to know this? Because she wanted to feed. She wanted to be where there was a living ministry. She wanted to be where the gospel was truly preached and set forth, that the word of the Lord might be known and felt in her own soul. So she says to her beloved, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" And you know, he gives her an immediate answer. We read in one place, I think it's in the prophecy of Isaiah, "And while they are yet speaking, I will answer them." And the Lord answers his people sometimes while they are yet speaking, while they are yet on their knees, while they are yet calling upon his great and holy name. And so her beloved, the Lord Jesus, answers her immediately, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women." See how he sees his church, his bride. She feels that she's nothing. She feels that she's sinful, she's unclean, she's unholy, she's unrighteous. She feels she's stained and dyed. She says here, "I am black. I am black," and she feels and knows that she is black. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." What are the footsteps of the flock? Well, we know the illustrations that we have in Holy Scripture, and the Lord Jesus is, of course, called the great shepherd of the sheep. "I am the good shepherd. My sheep, they know my voice and they follow me." That is the footsteps of the flock, following the shepherd, following Christ. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all his ways, in all his holy commandments. And that really is the longing and the desire of a living soul. And so, we can't go through the whole of the book, but this is really how to look at this book, at this sacred spiritual intercourse and dialogue that goes on between a living soul and a living Christ. Now the great thing, my beloved friends, is, do you know anything of this spiritual intercourse with Christ? Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Do you follow the Good Shepherd? These are vital points, because these are the marks and evidences of being a true child of God. Those that follow the Good Shepherd. "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's a path of self-denial. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women." He sees his church washed in his precious blood, clothed in the glorious robe of his righteousness. He says here concerning his church, his spouse, "Thou art all fair, my love." Beautiful, sacred words of poetry. Of course, in poetry, the same as it is today, and how it is so also in the Song of Solomon, there is the constant use of metaphors illustrating various aspects of the truth as it is in Jesus. "O thou fairest among women." What a wonderful thing. You know, in the second chapter, in verse 10, you see how the Lord Jesus speaks. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. There's a constant calling away. What from? The world, the things of this life. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. What is hindering you? What is holding you back? Something is. You've got to let it go. Let us lay aside. He that will follow me, let him deny himself. Let us lay aside every weight. You may say, well, it's this, or it's that, or it's something else, or you don't understand, it's this thing that I've got. Let us lay aside. What does the apostle say in another place? Leaving those things which are behind, this one thing I do. There's a single eye of faith. This one thing I do. I press toward the mark to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Letting everything else go. Let all fruitless searches go, which perplex and tease us, but desiring naught to know, but a bleeding Jesus. It's to follow the Lord Jesus. You know, here in the third chapter, we have the experience of the spouse, and she says here in the first verse of the third chapter, by night, on my bed, I sought him. You know, in the night season, when it's dark, also here, remember this is spiritual language, speaking by metaphors, as the bed of ease. It's easier to stay where you are. But that's not fighting the good fight of faith. Nor is it pressing toward the mark. Nor is it leaving those things which are behind. You're resting in them. You've got to let them go. The commencement of our text, go forth! Go forth! When Moses was at the Red Sea, he came to the Red Sea, did he not? And the Egyptian army was coming up behind him. Pharaoh with all his men of war and the chariots. He was at the place that is called Pi-hahiroth. On his right hand were mountains, on his left hand were mountains. In the front of him was a sea. And there was great consternation. And we read that the children of Israel cried unto Moses, surely the Lord has come, brought us into the desert to destroy us. And we read that they spake unto Moses, and Moses cried unto the Lord. And what did the Lord answer him? Why criest thou unto me? Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. Go forth. There is this going forth. Look at Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And we have the record of it. The apostle records it in the Hebrews. And the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he went out by faith. And he went out not knowing whither he went. It was by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and not seen. He went out not knowing whither he went. And that's what it is to live by faith. And that's what it is to walk by faith. You can't see the end from the beginning. But you launch forth in faith. You leave those things that are behind. And there's an object, of course, it's Jesus Christ. And he always draws a sinner out. Come out from among them. What? Come out from what? The world and everything. Everything. Come out and be ye separate. That's the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Go forth O daughters of Zion, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. You won't find him there. You're on a bed of ease. You will not find him there. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now. I will rise now. You see, something stirs her up from off this bed of ease. What is it that desires after Christ? And this is found in every living soul, a desire after Christ. What does the apostle say to the Hebrews when he's exhorting them? He says, looking unto Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do we run this race? There is only one way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. I will rise now and go about the city. What is the city that is spoken of here? Zion. Notice in our text, O ye daughters of Zion. It's the city of Zion. It's the church of the living God. That's where Jesus is sought for. What do we read of Zion in Psalm 2? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who is it? Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. I've set my king, my glorious king, my mighty king, my eternal king. I've set him upon my holy hill of Zion. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him. How have you come to chapel tonight? Have you come with a desire? Have you come with a longing? Have you come with that desire, sirs? Those Greeks that came up and they spoke to Philip, they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Is that how you've come to chapel tonight? Sirs, we would see Jesus. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets in the broad ways. I will seek him. You know, this is the posture of every living soul. Often, when a person is seeking for the truth and perhaps have not yet found Christ, not yet obtained mercy, it is often said, oh, that there is a seeking soul. He or she is a seeking soul. My dear beloved friends, that is true. I don't detract from that statement. But every living soul is a seeking soul. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. What do earthen vessels do? They leak. They leak, and you cannot retain. So there is a constant sense of need. I say every living soul is a seeking soul. There may be one and another been in the way for 30, 40, 50 years. They're still a seeking soul. They still come up to the house of God with those longing desires after Jesus. They still long to see him. They still long to hear his voice. They still long to see his countenance. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I sought him. Are you seeking him? The watchmen, that's the ministers of the gospel, the watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? They ask the minister. They long to see the beloved. It was but a little, but I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. You know, sometimes the Lord leads us in such a pathway. There may be those times and situations when the Lord so richly blesses the ministry of the word unto your soul as you come to the house of God. But here in this experience of the living child of God, she got past the minister. You know, you have to prove that the minister can give you nothing. It's not within his power to do so. He would if he could, but he can't. It's only the Lord that can give you something. It's only the Lord that can feed your soul. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him. See, she was seeking. You think of those sacred words of our Lord Jesus, words of such precious encouragement. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What precious promises. What certainty. He doesn't say maybe, or perhaps, or could be. There is no ambiguity whatsoever in those words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. What a precious thing to hold the Lord Jesus in the arms of faith. We read here, in fact you see in the last part of the second chapter, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. The arms of faith, my Jesus, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my God, my strength, my righteousness, my all and my in all. I held him. Would not let him go until I have brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. What is my mother's house? Zion. Zion, the church of God, is called the womb of the morning. The womb of the morning. We read in one of the Psalms that it shall be said of Zion that this and that man was born in her. Was born in her. She's the womb of the morning. There's a bringing forth of spiritual children. And you see the desire here of the precious soul that has been brought to know the Lord Jesus. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. I had brought him into my mother's house. It's to stand within. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. What is it to stand within Zion? It's to come into the church of God. And how is it in New Testament terms that we come into the church of God? We pass through the waters of baptism. We give a testimony to the church. And on the reception of that testimony, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we can come and sit at the Lord's table and we can partake of the bread and of the wine. And the Lord Jesus says to his children, this do in remembrance of me. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. You know, there is no better time to come and speak to the church than when you're in the warmth of your love, that first love to Christ. And your heart is so drawn to him, so melted under a sense of his loving kindness and his goodness to your soul. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. You know, if you look here at verse 6 in this third chapter, we have the church. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Again, she's coming out. Just look at what it's saying here in this sacred language to a spiritual soul. There's a coming out. There's a leaving. There's a pressing on. There's a pressing forward. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? The wilderness of this world. Why is the world called a wilderness? Because it's a place where no water is. That's what a wilderness is. It's a desert where there's no water. Cannot sustain life. That's why it's a wilderness. This world, to the living child of God, is a wilderness. It cannot do anything for you. You cannot find any sustenance there. Not for your soul. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and powders? You know, these pillars of smoke. Let's just think for a moment of these pillars of smoke. And my mind, it just goes to those beautiful words that we have in the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And there, in the fourth verse, in fact, in the third verse, another angel came out and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, these pillars that we have here spoken of, she's coming up out of the wilderness as pillars of smoke. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. What is the incense? Much incense that was added. The sacred merits of Jesus Christ. That's what's added to the prayers of the saints. That's what goes up. The psalmist, he says, let my prayer ascend before thee as incense. As incense. So these pillars that is spoken of here, in this sacred metaphorical language, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, perfumed with the sacred merits of Christ? It's the prayers of the saints. Why? Because the saints... A saint literally means a sanctified person. That's what a saint is. They're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And when they pray, they feel nothing, utterly nothing in themselves. But they see everything they stand in need of in Jesus Christ. And so when they always pray for Jesus Christ's sake. And that they offer their prayers in the name of Jesus. They know that they cannot stand before a holy God in their own name. It's sinful, wicked, corrupt, and they're undone. And they cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God in their own name. All their righteousnesses, they know, are as filthy rags. They are all as an unclean thing. So when they pray, they cannot pray in their own name. They cannot plead for their name's sake. In fact, they say, Lord, my name is nothing and I am nothing. I'm a sinner. I'm vile. I'm wretched. But, oh, I plead with thee for Jesus' sake. You see, these prayers, they're accepted in heaven. They're perfumed in the merits of Jesus Christ. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and with all the powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. You see, we have a mystical Solomon. We've read of King Solomon. We've seen of the glory of King Solomon's kingdom and the wisdom and the grace that was given unto him. We read of the grace of Solomon here in Solomon's Song. That dear man of God, he wrote these things from personal experience. He did. He knew his Lord. He loved his Lord. And he writes from personal experience. But there's a greater than Solomon here. Solomon was David's son. So was Christ. So was Christ. In fact, I preached from it on several occasions, those opening words of the Ecclesiastes. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. That's the first verse of Ecclesiastes. Preacher is written with a capital P. Why? Because it's Christ, it's not Solomon. There's a greater than Solomon here. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the words of the preacher, no man spake like this man. No man spake like Jesus Christ spake. There was no teaching like the teachings of Jesus Christ, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. The son of David, king in Jerusalem. What does our Lord Jesus say in the last chapter of Holy Scripture when he's speaking to his servant John on the Isle of Patmos? I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. If you take a cursory glance at that, you would think it must contradict itself. However can he be the root and the offspring? I'll tell you how. Because in the person of Christ, there is the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Son of God speaks of his divinity. The Son of Man speaks of his humanity. He was very God and very man. And so, as the eternal Son of the eternal Father, he was David's root. David drew all his strength, all his wisdom, all his grace came from the Son of God. Therefore he said, I am the root and offspring, because according to the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. And so we see so beautifully in that word, those two natures in the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. The Word, that term that is given principally by John, the Word, speaks of the sacred divinity of the Son of God and the Word. Notice how it's couched in Scripture. And the Word was made flesh. That is, the eternal Son of the Father, the Holy Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. King Solomon, King Jesus, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, King Jesus. You know, we see there is the Queen of Sheba. Notice first on what it was. I believe the Queen of Sheba was a godly woman, you may say, but she was an Ethiopian. She was a godly woman. Look at the opening passage of the chapter that we read. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord his God. That was the fame of Solomon. And that's what she went to seek. And that's what she went to seek. She came to prove him with hard questions. My beloved friends, there's a greater than Solomon here. There's one that can answer all your hard questions. And he says, King Jesus, come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What does it mean, take my yoke? What does the yoke do? It holds together, unites together. Just think of the illustration, a yoke of oxen. One oxen trying to pull a plough would have great difficulty in doing, but two oxen yoked together with a yoke across their shoulders, they easily pull the plough. Now that's the illustration. It's a poor, needy, helpless, weak sinner, yoked, united to Jesus Christ. And he says to these poor, weak, helpless, hopeless sinners, come unto me. All ye that labour under a sense of your wretchedness, your helplessness, your uselessness. You really feel it to be so. You say, Lord, I am nothing, I have nothing. He says, come unto me. All ye that, Lord, I'm such a sinner, and you're labouring under that wretched sense of your sinnership. Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. You know, my beloved friends, what a rest there is in Christ. There is a rest that remaineth for the people of God, and that rest in faith, in the person and work, in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, the heavenly Solomon. That's where the rest of faith is. Oh, you say, I'm such a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. That's the hope of the gospel. Everlasting life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Sin has been put away. Divine justice has been satisfied. Where? At the cross of Calvary. In that glorious holy sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary. For by one offering he has perfected forever all them that are sanctified. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. Now, you know, she comes up to Jerusalem. Mount Zion's in Jerusalem. Just remember, we're looking at the heavenly Solomon. The mystical Solomon, if you want to put it that way. The Lord Jesus. The Queen of Sheba is a coming sinner. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, think of the church. O Zion, when I think on thee, think of the glory of Mount Zion. Think of the wonderful, and she says, the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants. Think of the way the Lord has ordered the church of God. And when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, when he draws you to himself, when you see such a beauty in him, you see such a beauty in the ordinances of God's house. You do, in Zion, in the church. You see there's a divine order. And you're drawn. And just like the Queen of Sheba, the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel and his cupbearers, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. And there was no more spirit in her. I remember my late pastor, Mr. Jupp, before he joined the church, and the Lord so blessed him and favoured him. On this particular Lord's Day, my late grandfather, Mr. Jabez Field, was preaching at that time at Black Boys. And everybody stays in for the ordinance in Sussex. And as he sat and witnessed the church around the Lord's table, he said, I felt such a love to them. I saw them all in Christ Jesus. Oh, he said, my heart was so drawn. These were the Lord's people. And he said the word that he spoke on at that ordinance, he said it entered right into my soul. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Oh, he said, I was so drawn, such a longing to do what Jesus had commanded him to do. And he was favoured to go forward and to be received by the church. You see. And And there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Oh, think of the acts and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Think of who he is, King Jesus, the mighty God. Think of him leaving the bosom of his holy father, come into this sin-cursed world, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. Look at his holy, sinless, perfect life that he lived here below. And that is the righteousness of the church, the perfect obedience of the man Christ Jesus to the law. That's the righteousness of the church. Jehovah Sid Kenyu, the Lord, our righteousness. You see such a beauty in this glorious, holy Jesus. You want to follow him. You want to love him. You want to serve him. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard. You know, it's a very sacred thing when you have such a view of the church of God in Jesus Christ and you see such a loveliness in the ordinances of God's house. She says, happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, because the Lord loved Israel forever. God, that is God, the eternal Father, so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, the glorious Jesus Christ. Him hath God exalted as a prince and as a saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon. Think of John the Baptist when he pointed to the Lord Jesus and his disciples were with him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a wonderful thing when we behold the Lamb of God. What do we read in the opening verses of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42? Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Who is he speaking of? Jesus Christ. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon. You won't behold him sitting where you are. There's a moving by faith. There's a moving by faith. It's the very clear implication of this word. He that goeth forth and weepeth, and you will, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. You know, here we read in the seventh verse, behold his bed. This bed, remember its metaphorical language. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. What is it? It's the church of God. His bed. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords. What's it speaking of? The ministers of the Lord that he divinely anoints and appoints and sends them forth to stand upon the walls of Zion and to be pastors in churches. We read of the Lord Jesus in the book of the Revelation that he had 7 in his right hand. These are the angels of the 7. They are divinely appointed of God. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are spiritual. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. What is this chariot? It's the sacred, holy human nature that the eternal Son of the Father assumed in the womb of the Virgin. That's this chariot. King Solomon made himself a chariot. A body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared for me. What sacred, precious truths then are found here. And we read of this chariot. The pillars thereof of silver. Silver represents the work of the Holy Spirit. The bottom thereof of gold. That is speaking of the divinity of our Lord Jesus. The covering of purple. The midst thereof being paved with love. It's everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The midst thereof being paved with love. For the daughters of Jerusalem, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown. This glorious Jesus who left the bosom of his Father, who lived and suffered and bled and died for his children, who shed every drop of his precious blood to redeem them from all sin and all adversity. He bore the curse for them. He was made a curse for us. The eternal Father, he took the sin of the church and he laid it upon his best beloved, his only begotten Son. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he suffered and he bled and he died to redeem your soul. To deliver you from all sin. He was made a curse for us. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon. He died. But he died to rise again. He died to swallow up death in victory. He died to abolish death. That's what he's done. He rose from the grave and he says, because I live. Who's he speaking to? His church, his bride. Because I live, ye shall live also. In him is life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. Eternal life. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. He led them out as far as unto Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them and was received up into heaven. Now, look at Psalm 24 and the last two or three verses of Psalm 24. And what does it speak of? It speaks of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And what does it say? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is it? It's the Lord Christ. It's the eternal Son of the Father as he ascends victorious into heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. No metaphor, that real man, that holy God man, he sitteth at the right hand of the majesty on high. What does Joseph Hart go on to say? Because of this glorious king, because of this mighty saviour, because of this great high priest, he says, come then, repenting sinner, come and trust upon his grace. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. May the Lord add his blessing. Thank you.
willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 526. Thrice happy are the men who know the joyful sound. They glory in the Lamb, their hopes upon him found. They see how justice, truth and grace agree and shine in Jesus' face. 526.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.